It always throws me off that the co-op has funeral care. Don't you diss Little's carrots.
You put some 10 metres away and froze it. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to pay the premium so my mum doesn't die.
The Antisocial Podcast, brought to you by the lovely people at Adrian Flux. We are actually the best looking podcast in the world.
And sexiest. You
know, and it's been added today because we're joined by a beautiful, beautiful guest, Mr. Robbie Knox.
Oh yeah, clap for that.
Hi everyone.
Welcome Robbie, how are you today? How did you come here?
I came here by train, two trains. I got to go, I liked it because I went into London, then out from London Bridge. Not going to dox you, not going to say exactly where we are. I got to go under the Bermondsey Dive Under, which is my favourite bit of railway infrastructure in London.
Oh, wow. It's a party lifestyle you live, isn't it?
Yeah.
First time we've heard that. That's the biggest compliment we've ever got on this podcast.
So if anyone's unfamiliar with it, it's only been built in the last 5 years, but before, there was a lot of delays in trains where the trains on one side, the others had to cross. They had to weigh things. Oh. So they built a dive under that goes, so the trains go underneath and you go, whee!
Where is this? It's on the dealer.
No, on the mainline train from London Bridge. You notice it. You go under.
The train goes wee.
I go wee.
He goes wee, not the train. Although if you are on the tube definitely goes wee. Yeah, I've been on the tube.
One thing I want to say is, you know, when you're on the tube, how come, you know, that horrible, horrible noise that goes, that massive noise? How does no Londoner just react? Londoner just looks straight ahead.
You get like, you get acclimatised to horrible living conditions on travel.
That's what gets me angry as a DLR fan. When people like to say the tube's better, it's like, it's about the DLR. You get the Wi-Fi, you don't get that noise.
Mate, we just need to like just sit and remember like we're living at a time with two greats exist. Do you know what I mean? So we just kind of need to say. Anyway, Robbie, I want to bring it back to you. You started, or at least I started hearing about you when you were on Soccer AM.
Yeah. I lived before then, but yeah, that was.
How long ago was that?
So I was on from 2000 to 2007. It's quite a while ago.
So I remember, were you doing the like dealing with the guests? Did you see?
Yeah, so I used to do. Well, there were bits that we did on camera, like I did a few characters and stuff like that. But a lot of my stuff was, like, either me or someone else would book a guest, and it would be phoning them up, writing an interview, sorting out the travel, making sure they got there, all that stuff.
Because I remember you told me a story when you were on that walk about you had this awkward experience where someone drove past you. Was it a football or something?
David Prutton. Yeah, because we're talking about you'd meet people and you wouldn't necessarily know where you met them from. And because we're doing things on the show, people would recognise you from it. And I was in Southampton really drunk, walking at midnight, walking past a roundabout, this car pulled up. We went, "All right, mate." I was like, "Oh, hello." And I was like, "I don't know this bloke is, I don't know if it's just someone who watched the show." He goes, "Don't know who I am, do you?" I'm like, "No." He goes, "I was on your show like 4 weeks ago." I was thinking I was like a fan of the week or something because I had those people in. But he had nice cars. Oh, shit, there's a footballer. So I was going through my head of every Southampton footballer I could think of. And he goes, "My name is David Prutton." I think he was at England 21 at the time. But he had like, he had longer hair and he cut it all off. I was going to get a haircut. It's not my fault. All right, see you, bye.
What, was he a big footballer?
He was all right. I mean, he was decent, but depends how, better than me.
Who was the biggest one you had on it like that time?
Because obviously, footballer-wise.
Definitely era football.
Yeah, I mean, who was still playing at that? We had like Michael Owen, who was probably the biggest that was playing. To a degree, yeah. But then we'd have like quite a lot of ex-pros and things like that.
Because you had that story with them. I don't know if that was involved with the being on the show, but with the Liam Gallagher. I remember you talked about that one. When you had the...
I thought it was Noel.
No, it was Liam, wasn't it?
Which one is it? Is this the Locked in the Cupboard?
Yeah, the Locked in the Cupboard one.
Yeah.
Because I want to ask, have you got any more stories like that from like guests that have been on?
I'm trying to think. I mean, it wasn't... I'm trying to think what I've told and what I haven't, to be honest. But I mean, because I can't really remember anything. It was... I'm trying to think what would be useful, what would be of interest. I don't know. I mean, we'd have, if you narrow it down to a specific thing, you might have a story.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I was just wondering if you had, because I remember I was watching that clip on Happy Hour today with Liam Gallagher, and I was absolutely pissing myself laughing at, like, because have you heard the story?
I haven't, no.
So this is the one, this is Locked in the Cupboard. Yeah. So I, when I was growing up, I was like a really, really big Oasis fan, like like 16, 17 when Definitely Maybe came out. It was like this life-changing album and all that. And I was, so Noel had been on the show a couple of times, and that was like, for me, that was so exciting. Like, oh my God, this is one of my heroes. But I never met Liam, but I knew he watched Soccer AM. And we went to some party. I think Oasis had won like Lifetime Achievement at the Brits or something, and Noel invited us all along. So we went along to this party, and it was really weird. But Liam came over and he's like, all right, lads, how you doing? And me and Neil, we did these characters called Curl and Ginger. It was like these, like I was a mute alcoholic Air Force pilot sort of thing. Like it was, I didn't really speak, it went dry, dry. And he's going, oh, it's so great, that Curl and Ginger. He goes, that's your Definitely Maybe. And I'm like, amazing that that's how you rate things. It's Definitely Maybe, that. But then it was me, Tim Lovejoy, who presented the show at the time, yeah. and Liam was chatting to us, and he goes, oh, because you got to hear the new stuff, lads. It's brilliant. It's so good. We're going, oh, I didn't know there was any new stuff. Like, it was just before the last album.
Yeah, the winter after we were going to release a new one at this point, wasn't
it? So it was, yeah. So there was the one that had The Importance of Being Idle that I can never remember the name of, that was really good. And then there's another one that came out afterwards, just before that. Well, a bit before that. But I didn't even know they were recording anything. It's exciting. He goes, do you want to hear something now? I'm going, yeah, that's great. So he goes, follow me. So we're walking through this club in London. I go, oh, this is pretty exciting. He's going to get us like a CD or something out and play it for us. He goes just through the kitchen of this club, and all the people working there are like, what are you doing here, mate? He goes in this little pantry, shuts the door, and goes like, all right, so the first song goes like this. He goes, singing it. But it wasn't just like singing the words. He was like doing all the instruments. He was like going, and all this like that. At first, I was thinking, this is mint. This is really...
Like a live performance for free.
Yeah, I was like, this is amazing, right? By the time the second one, I was like, oh, all right. But suddenly, like, doing a third 5-minute long song, I was like, oh, my drink's done. I'm like, I don't know how to get out of this.
Was he playing it in full length as well?
Yeah, did that full thing. Yeah, like intros, outros, fade outs.
He must have been on a substance, surely. Or was he just mental in general?
I can possibly say, but I don't know. I mean, he was very energetic. and eventually then we sort of just finished and went back to the party. Like, oh,
so how long ago in the Soccer AM journey was that?
First day in the job.
Well, I'm trying to think. It probably would have been about 2006, 2007.
Also near the end?
Yeah, towards the end, yeah.
So how did you've obviously progressed from very mainstream TV media coming into this YouTube world. How was the process of that? Like, what made you want to come into this world?
I did Channel B for, Soccer AM for 7 years, and then I got, you do anything for that long, you get a bit bored, don't you? Sort of thing. I feel really bad that I'm talking over here.
No, I'm just enjoying you talking. Well,
I'll try and work the room a bit better.
No, you work the room fine.
It's weird being in the middle, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Some people like
It's fine, yeah.
Sandwich.
All good. Sandwich. I can't remember what I'm saying. I did Soccer AM for 7 years, and then I wanted to leave, but we were doing so many exciting things at the end. Like, we got to play football in the first game at Wembley. We got to go to Champions League finals and things like this. I think it was so much good stuff going on. I didn't want to leave, and then everyone else go, oh, we're playing the World Cup finals today. I didn't want to miss out. But then Tim got offered to do this internet TV thing before, sort of, I mean, YouTube existed, but it wasn't really a thing of a YouTuber. It wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
It was just like, cat Hobby. Videos and that.
Yeah.
So we did all... So he got invited to go and do that for 90 Entertainment, which was Simon Fuller, the manager of Spice Girls and stuff. It's his company. Yeah. So we went over and worked there for 2 years, and then we spent loads of money and didn't make any and got asked to leave. So then I run a production company, it was a day job, making videos for people. And then I just did that for years, and then I just started doing YouTube about 3 years ago.
Is that like public knowledge that you have like your own kind of like little business doing the videography?
Possibly, I don't know. I mean, it's just me who does it, really. Yeah. I go use freelancers occasionally and stuff like that, but I'm not really. It's sort of something to fund my lifestyle.
I thought you did YouTube full time. Because walk, you told me that that was your main job, and then YouTube was kind of just like a side thing.
That's what I'd probably upload more if I did it full time. But there's times when I've not got much on or something like that, and I'll put loads out. And then there's other times when I'm busy and I'll.
Yeah. What kind of videography is it that you do?
So I do stuff like a lot of. I've done sort of some of the sort of bigger things, but my ideal job is something you can go along, film it, edit it, and be done with it and move on.
Yeah.
But I did, I'm trying to think of the recent things. I did that stuff for EA Sports where we did, they did a show called Top Bins, which was like a, when the FIFA Team of the Week came out, a couple of people did like a show where they'd talk about all the players in it and who's good and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't play all top teams, I don't really know. I'm learning. Who's good? I don't know who's good at it. So they do that and we'd literally film that and I'd just sit in their office, edit it, because it's quite a quick turnaround and upload it that day, so stuff like that.
Is it a solo man job or is it, have you got your own
that
team?
Was, or? It depends. So it's me and freelancers when I need them, but mostly it's, my ideal thing is just me because I don't have to arrange anything.
So so when did the decision to actually start your own YouTube come then?
So I didn't ever watch YouTube for YouTubers. I knew Jack already, so I'd occasionally watch his stuff. And I'd met a few people through work and stuff. There's loads of YouTubers that I've met. I didn't know who they were at the time because I'm 44, yeah. to dementia. so there's loads that I am... There's a bit like I've met like Cal Freezy and stuff like that. I had no idea, apart from that they were obviously, because they were at these FIFA events, they obviously were quite popular. Yeah. But no, they were. They're often going, oh, I know him. I like him. You see things, oh, very good.
Got a post of you on me wall.
So I basically didn't really watch YouTube. And I thought it was for younger people.
Mm.
And I was talking to a guy called Will Brazier, who does for sport.
Yeah, presenter.
He's a really good guy. We were doing some filming at Watford's training ground with Troy Deeney and we were chatting away and he was going, you should start a YouTube channel. I was like, oh, I'm a bit off that, mate. He said, no, I'm not being, don't be rude, but he goes, I know what it's like being 18 and starting uni because every September there's 6,000 vlogs about being 18 and starting uni. He goes, let me know what it's like being middle-aged or something. So, all right, yeah, I'll do it. So I thought I'd do a video a week for 6 months and see how it goes. If I enjoy it, I'll carry on. And
like, vaccine this week. On.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
my first one.
Did that help, like, obviously, because you went from mainstream to YouTube, did that help with, like, contacts? For example, like, you did that video with Michael Van Gerwen as well, who's like, that's someone that I, to put it politely, don't really care about. But if I did a video with Michael Van Gerwen, my dad and my brother would think I'm, like, a Greek god or something. They would, like, be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that was, like, the weirdest thing, in that Tubes, who Soccer AM, and I did a lot of filming with him, I was helping him out with filming and he got, he said, oh, you're free. We've got, PDC asked me if I wanted to come down to their press day. And he said, so it was a joke. I said, yeah, only if I can get a darts lesson off of Michael Van Gogh. And they went, yeah, no problem. So I went, so do you want to come down? I went, yeah, can you ask if I can ask Michael Van Gogh about his bin day routine? And they went, yep, no problem. Like, what are they going to say no to?
Wasn't that the title?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, something like that. But then, and then when we got there, we were just mucking around. We said, oh, that's because when we're playing can we get a little game at Ali Pally as a joke? And they went, yeah, you can, no problem. You can come around and play beforehand. So we got to play darts. Well, I can't play darts. We got to play darts at Alexandra Palace before they opened up. But there's still people coming in. And I'm like, they had the proper, the announcer guy. I can't remember. He was brilliant. He came as soccer in before. But it was really good because he's like, normally he's doing like, he's 100 and all that stuff. But he's going like, 7. Like these numbers he never gets to say anymore.
Did you miss the board at any point? Yeah, I definitely would. I would miss the board.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
0.
But we had like, so we didn't play. I said, do you want to play at 5:01? We're going, we'll be there for like an hour. So we'll do like 9 darts, whoever gets the highest score. And it was something like 60, 54 or something. Like, it was dreadful. Like it was. I could have been beaten in a single dart by a good dart player.
So was he quite sound then?
Michael Van Gerwen?
Yeah,
brilliant.
He seems lovely. Are you big into your darts?
Oh,
Build the power tail.
I'm not going to lie, when they were at the O2, I really wanted to go just for the absolute scenes.
I've been told it's really good to go there. I've never went.
The atmosphere really looks mint.
It does. Everyone's just there to get pissed, aren't they? But he's like the Messi of darts at the moment. He is still number one, isn't
the
he,
Messi
right now?
Of darts.
He is, bro. He's fucking unreal.
They look alike.
Really do.
I don't know what he looks like, to be honest with you.
You never seen Michael Van Gerwen?
I don't need to now. He looks like Messi, doesn't he? So I know what he looks like.
He's bald.
What was his bin day routine?
It was mental. We had to like drive his bins somewhere. It's like you don't just put your bins out.
He puts them 10 meters away and throws it in.
But I think he's like putting a van or something and driving to. Normally you do. I think he's because he's rich, he like pays someone to take them or something. Whatever your middle name is, you have to use that transport. I think he said he hired a company to do this for him. Because normally you've got to take your bin somewhere. They don't come and get your bins. Mental.
He's a big lad though, isn't he, Michael Van Keel? Yeah. He imagine he goes through a lot of packaging.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Food packaging.
Yeah, dark player diet.
You don't know his environmental credentials. He might be down one of those places where you can refill your plastic pot with beans or something, or quinoa. Beans. I don't know what he does.
Because that wasn't that like 4 years ago, Shuali? That is that, was it now? I'm trying to remember. I think it was about that time, was it?
What, that thing? I don't think we did YouTube that long. It would have been just before Christmas 2019. So it wasn't the last darts tournament. It was the one before that.
Oh, right, okay. But it was one of your early videos, though, wasn't it?
Probably fairly early, yeah. I've not been doing it that long.
Because it got, like, 500,000 views, I'm pretty sure. Like, it banged for you.
It's done well, yeah. I'm not sure if it's that... I don't think we've got any video 500,000 views. I don't know, it did well, yeah.
So what is your...
And it does well when he does it well in darts tournaments. So I'm, like, cheering him on. Here we go. Bit of ad revenue. He's out in the first round. I'm like, oh, no. No Christmas kids.
So when you... I bought his kids Christmas presents. That
he did,
was why.
Yeah.
You know, at the start, when you first started them, what was your idea with your channel? So you've had that chat with Will.
Nothing. Well, I had that, and I thought I'll just do what I enjoy. I think it's sort of the hardest way to do YouTube, because I think if you've got something that you do, it's like people can go into it. So I'll make some skiing videos, and there'll be people who go, come like, oh, brilliant, skiing videos, I'll do this. And then they get me taking the bins out or asking if I can go about that bin or two. They're like... No, I'm out, yeah. Unsubscribe, something. So I just thought, but then equally, I thought my plan was to try and make some kind of, not necessarily my full-time living from it, but make some kind of part of my income from it in 5 to 10 years. I was thinking very sort of long
five
term.
5 to 10 years?
Well, yeah, because, you know, people rush things a lot. I get people messaging me going, oh, I'm not struggling and growing on YouTube and I've done like 3 videos. I go, well, do more. but I thought I'll do long term. If I do keep doing it, then eventually some people will probably watch it in 10 years. Something. Yeah. So my plan was generally just to sort of to do stuff that I enjoyed, because otherwise there's no point if you're doing stuff that you don't like.
Exactly. Because you were doing like a vlog, weren't you? I'm sure you.
Yeah, sort of like vloggy sort of stuff, and it still sometimes is. It's just literally anything.
So when did you get involved with Jack?
So I first met him. Years ago, do you want the long story or the short story?
Long story.
Yeah, nice long story.
Okay. So one Christmas, I went to Sainsbury's and got really annoyed because...
There was no brandy sauce.
There was
no
hardly anything.
Sauce. I don't want to interrupt the story because it's going to be a great one. Do you know what brandy sauce is?
Yes.
Do you like brandy sauce?
It's fine.
It's okay. It's better than not knowing what it is and hating me for it.
The thing is, one time he asked me to go to the shop, I was like, do you want anything about brandy sauce? I went, what the fuck's brandy sauce?
It's a Christmas thing, isn't it? You don't get it normally, do you?
Yeah. Christmas. It was a Christmas thing. Okay, as you were. You were angry at Sainsbury's.
I was angry at Sainsbury's because I'd done all my shopping online. I planned, but I had to go there for some reason because we got invited to someone's house. I had to get something to make a cake or something like that. Mm. So I went down. I went there and it was horrible. Like the experience was dreadful. Like the queues were like right down the aisles. There was everything. They put the price up of everything. All the food was disgusting. There were carrots that were disgusting. How do you mess up carrots?
Like, you've got one job. Like a bad carrot.
What was wrong with the carrot?
They were just like, they're no taste. They just taste like water.
Like them soggy carrots. You never had them before.
They're just awful.
I've seen them at Lidl plenty of times.
Don't you diss Lidl's carrots?
Lidl's carrots great.
Lidl's carrots.
But Lidl's peppers can be a sunny's a bit dodgy.
See, you've got to find the right pack with peppers though. You know. Anyway.
Yeah.
This is Sainsbury's, not Lidl's. No problem with Lidl's. But we. So I got there and I was, everything was unpleasant about the experience. I thought, there's got to be a different way to shop. So I just stopped. I thought, I'm not going to go to the supermarket for a year. In the end, I did 6 months. And I didn't really tell anyone. I just told my wife. And she was like, oh, for God's sake. I just went to like independent shops. I got like a milk delivered, like it's the 80s. And then and things like that. I was living in London at the time, so it was a bit easier than if I lived elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And it was quite annoying in that sometimes if you did like turmeric for a recipe, and you go, loads of turmeric in that Sainsbury's there. Well, I've got to find a shop that sells turmeric now. So I go around and go, got any turmeric, mate? Nah. All right. So I did that for about six months, and then I just wrote a Facebook post, my like private Facebook thing, and someone I knew who worked for the Huffington Post said, oh, that's really interesting. You're actually writing a blog for it. So I wrote a blog, and I think I did another blog for them. And then they phoned me up and said, we've got this brand deal thing with Amoy, this Chinese cooking thing. Do you fancy, do you want to be in it? We can pay you. And it's a Chinese cooking competition, so you could win a holiday as well.
Fucking hell.
So that, all right, yeah. I said, there's like a team of comedians, a team of YouTubers, a team of bloggers. I'd written two bloggers ever. I was like, I feel like I've cheated out a lot of bloggers here. But all right. So long, it was me and this girl called Victoria, who's this food blogger, and Jack was one of the team of YouTubers. Jack and Helen Anderson, who's also from Norwich. And that's where I met him from there. And we won the holiday. And then I suddenly thought, are they going to expect me to go on holiday with this girl from my team, this 25-year-old girl? Because she's really nice.
I'm
phoning up my wife. I'm just off to Hong Kong for a week. But in the end, they just said, do you want the holiday? Do you want the cash? I've got the cash, please.
How much was the cash?
£1,000, I think.
So a grand or a holiday to Tokyo? That doesn't really match, does it?
Hong Kong,
where you got Tokyo from?
I guess like £500 for a flight.
Did they pay you for your time as well?
Yeah.
Because you were getting paid regardless. Right.
Yeah.
So you get.
But I like work. You can win
double time.
You can win more money if you do.
Yeah.
So Sainsbury's brought you together as well.
Yeah.
Works.
Essentially, my anger at Sainsbury's.
So is Sainsbury's at the bottom of the tier list of supermarkets?
Great question.
Oh, great question.
No, I don't.
Like everyone.
Can we have this out now?
I do think this might start a bit of debate, controversy, especially amongst him. I know he's passionate about his supermarkets.
I fucking hate Lidl. I hate it.
Right. Well, yeah,
that's because he's posh.
Calm down. what are you saying about your top? What's your top three?
I think you're good old reliable. For example, Tesco will never disappoint you, but it's a bit expensive. Never disappoint you, but it's a bit on the expensive side.
Is that one?
It depends. We need to be. We need to be
smashing these out.
I think Aldi has got to be number one. I'm sorry. I think Aldi just has. What are you going to say about Aldi?
I
agree. Aldi for us is unbelievable.
Right.
Anyone else going to agree with Aldi for number one?
Iceland? Would you not pick
Iceland for a big shop? Are you mad?
That is mental.
Iceland. It's good for Greg sausage rolls if you want to freeze them.
What is Iceland's slogan? Is why someone got shot by Iceland? What is it?
Mum's go to Iceland.
Why am I a mum?
Yeah, it is. What?
Why am I a mum? Why would I go to Iceland?
You wouldn't, but I don't think you're really their market, the Raymond, no, their marketing not, strategy. No, so
they don't check on the door either. I've got it before.
He's a Waitrose type of guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you a Waitrose type of guy?
No. All right. Listen. It depends what you're doing. I wouldn't say. Now listen, if you just want your ultimate quality, yeah, you've got your Waitrose and your Marks and Spencers. But I couldn't say that as my top three, two of them being the most Tory brands. Do you get me?
I think Marks and Spencers gets a bad rep of being expensive, whereas there's a lot of deals.
It's expensive.
There are. No, there
three
are
ready meals for £7.
There are a lot of deals.
And they are exceptional.
Mm. They're like expensive. £10 meal deal thing where you get like a bottle of wine in it. Yes. Like that's decent value there.
See, it's not for a big shop.
No.
But if you want a fancy night in, Marks and Spencer's is the one.
I do love Marks and Spencer's, not going to lie. But there is one that is near us, and I have not been to it.
You've not been
more
in there?
More
than
once.
Oh, okay.
We went there. I picked up an Easter egg. That was it.
Is Lidl and Sainsbury's out of the question completely?
Sainsbury's just think...
Fuck off.
I don't think Sainsbury's knows what it is.
Orange is a shit colour as well.
I'll tell you about Sainsbury's. They like to pride themselves, but there's fuck all variety in there. I remember one time I went in there for pasta... And I had one type of pasta in a tiny little fucking bag. I was like, where's the big bags? Where's the different pasta shapes? It was just one tiny little bag of fusilli. And ever since then, I've never went to Sainsbury's.
Really?
That is not normal for Sainsbury's.
Yeah, that is not normal for Sainsbury's.
You've got bad Sainsbury's or a bad day.
It was a small Sainsbury's, but I did expect more variety in the pasta category.
Robbie?
Okay, I don't think you can pick one. I go for different supermarkets for different things. If I'm going to buy a lot of vegetables, I'll be straight down Lidl. Good quality vegetables and all this.
Good quality.
So, yeah, good quality, cheap. You can get like loads of vegetables. Like a trolley full of vegetables, like £20.
They do have loads.
What about for your big shop then? So,
Monthly shop. Your bi-weekly shop then.
Okay.
Where would you be going, your ideal supermarket?
Wow. Again, it varies. Like, because during the early days of COVID, when it was a bit scary, I'd previously been going to Lidl or Aldi, but I was like, do you know what? It feels a bit safer in Sainsbury's because we've got a bit more space.
It does.
I started going, I'm going to pay the premium so my mum doesn't die. Like, I'm going to make... I don't mind splashing out an extra
Robbie Knox's mum's
20-30 quid a shop.
He's going to get Tropicana so his mum can live.
Yeah, exactly.
That is true. I love Tropicana. Some things I'll go to Lidl and I'll go, you know what, this is a bargain, but I might be on the toilet for 7 hours after this.
There is one that no one has mentioned, Morrison's.
Oh!
it's all right,
You've done a haul at Morrison's, haven't you?
No, I did an Asda one. I did Sainsbury's and then I did Asda. But Asda, the Asda in Swanley, it's like people who try to get COVID. They're like licking each other. Like, it's just
Morrison's mental. Doesn't even deserve a mention. I'm sorry.
I forgot that existed.
It's so bad. I think the only time I've ever been to Morrison's or even seen a Morrison's is when I go to see my family up in Staffordshire. And that's enough. That says itself.
I'm going to defend Morrison's. I think it's all right.
Really?
I think it's got a good butchery type meat section. I think like
the
that.
Meat section.
The meat section of Morrison's.
It's not very inclusive, though. Vegans.
They actually keep their chickens.
They've got other stuff as well. They're not just meat.
it's actually super fresh at Morrison's, but because they usually keep the chickens like out the back.
Good. Well, it works. It works for them.
Yeah, they have a school out the back with chickens, don't they?
Yeah.
No, I think Morrison's has got a really good hot food section, you know, when you order your food. Mm. Like, you know, like chicken nuggets, wedges.
Wedges and chicken nuggets from Morrison's?
Yes, I know had them.
Well, that is true.
Yes, very good.
I've seen a whole chicken in Morrison's.
Oh, alive?
It was.
They were just
alive.
Trying to catch it around the aisles.
The World Food aisle, just trying to catch it.
I think it is also circumstantial as well, because where I'm from, there's about 5 Tescos and 2 Asdas and nothing else. Whereas here, Farms. I've not seen an Asda since I've moved here.
Yeah, same.
I've never seen an Asda since I've moved here.
Near Charlton, there's a big shopping.
Yeah, but
Asda's there.
Normally there's like little like Asda, you know, like little Asda. We
don't have that around.
We have a wee Asda and a big Asda back in Matton.
We do not have a wee Asda, we just have big Asda.
Just big Asda.
There are some small Asdas, though.
That's
they are
big Asda is not really convenient for your everyday, weekly shop, because you're going to do a fucking 5K while you get your food, you know what
no,
I mean?
No, Asda pisses me off, because it reminds me of... what the hell is the blood clot?
The blood clot.
No, your dad.
No,
your ex-girlfriend.
No. Oh, come on, man. No, it's a shop. You can help me out, please. You have like a big... Argos! Thank you for your help, man.
Argos for your big shop.
What, did you get a fucking catalogue out for Asda? I was like, E43.
No, Asda and Argos, I always get confused between the two. And I'm just, I sit there and I'm like, because some things get in your head.
Do you want prawns or a prab? It's kind of...
Depends on how busy.
Do you know, my Asda bag at home's fucked, right? Because it has a McDonald's built into it. So when you... serious? So when you walked in, there's a McDonald's on your left. You're like, do I go for a weekly shop or do I just get a McDonald's and fucking dip?
Ooh. All right, we've been doing a lot of, like... We're talking, we're gaining information. I just want an all-time favourite, your number one. If there was a mass apocalypse, COVID turned everyone into zombies, but only Robbie Knox is alive, but you could do a haul somewhere, where would you go?
I'm going to go with Tesco's because I used to work there and I've got a bit of loyalty.
I'd say I'm also going to put my cards on the table and say Tesco, because I just remembered their Tesco cookies and that is just amazing.
Of course, you'd like the fucking cookies.
Yep.
What are you saying, mate?
Prick.
I'm not going to lie, you know. Very quickly, I won't make a meal out of this, but imagine apocalypse happened. Yes, exactly. Imagine apocalypse happened and then you just come across a Waitrose. Wow.
Well, if apocalypse happens, money wouldn't be a thing.
No, I'm talking about what's inside of it. Like, I'd be pissed off if all I fucking found was a Lidl that was near me, but a fucking three-headed aubergines, which are they're fucked. I don't know what you're talking about. They're vegetables. I've been in there, and the avocados are not A1. Like,
what's happening in this apocalypse? Is it a breakdown of the global financial system? Because you've got to factor in the price as well.
No, absolutely fucking. Like, you literally zombies are all over the gaff. You just have to.
Oh, it's
go
a zombie
into
apocalypse. Well, that was not mentioned beforehand.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Bruv, it's apocalypse.
I thought you weren't going to make a meal of this, mate.
I'm not. But now it's developed.
If it was a zombie apocalypse,
is the supply chain affected? I'm wondering how the vans are still stocking Waitrose. Like, you saw the trouble with Brexit, they're talking about supply chain. Zombie apocalypse is going to be up there, at least with that.
Yeah, but imagine a zombie going around Lidl trying to race you. You'd easily get past them. Just what the way that Lidls are built.
They're all built the same.
No, I'd want to be in an Asda in a zombie apocalypse. So many hiding spots, isn't it? So many hiding spots.
Again, the Asda near me is like practice for a zombie apocalypse.
That's the thing, when you in COVID, when you were going shopping, did anyone ever just used to like fucking like breathe over you and everything? Did you ever get that?
I'd use my like trolley as a weapon. Even though I didn't need a trolley, I'd use it to block people that was clearly. I'd use it
just
around
do a blockade down the aisle.
Just like, okay, I'm going to put this there.
I used to maybe not use it to, you know, hurt, but I used to do it to like give them a little fright. Like, I'd pretend I was going to like push it and then go. Yeah.
Would you blame it on a tick?
I'm not hitting people with
a
trolley.
Yeah, I'd go,
Yeah, no, I distanced myself from that. I wasn't attacking people with a trolley. What I mean was I was using it like to block, like, I put it between me and another shopper if I was going to get something
like a
there.
Tactic.
So they didn't lean over me.
There's nothing worse.
Ultimate passive-aggressive move.
There's nothing worse than someone that doesn't have spatial awareness when shopping. Do you know when you're sitting there, you're looking for something, and someone just comes walking right past you, it's like...
We've actually forgotten another one. Co-op, lads. No one said anything about co-op.
For a fucking reason, mate.
Yeah, I go and co-op to get soft mints, mate, not my weekly shop.
It always throws me off that the co-op has funeral care. Because I always feel like... Well, if this shop goes,
your granddad's
really
died, but do you want some Tamfastics?
Exactly.
But then,
and holidays. They do holidays.
They do holidays as well. What? They're banks. Jack of all trades.
What? Yeah. They do banks. As co-op banks.
Banks.
Yeah. The bank. Yeah.
They co-op. Can I know?
Yeah, they have a lot, mate. They have a lot. This is not a brand deal for co-op, by the way.
I think is I can actually I could trust co-op to do that, you know. But I feel like if Tesco did that, they'd just capitulate as a bank.
They've got a bank.
Fuck
off. Tesco has a bank.
Tesco's got a bank.
Tesco Mobile. Tesco Mobile. If I call up the phone, and then it goes to Tesco Mobile or Giffgaff Mobile, I'm never calling them again.
Mate, I'm sorry, but your friends are ignoring you.
I've got Giffgaff. And I bought my car from Tesco's.
What?
Huh?
How?
They did it for like a year or two. You could buy it online. I don't know anything about cars, but I don't really like the concept of buying a car. I don't really have to talk to some bloke about a car. I don't know. I just want a car. Have you got any cars, mate? Yeah, I'll have one. That's what I want it to be like for me. So I basically went and they had a website. You just go on there, you go, I want this car. You pay like 150 quid deposit or something, a secondhand car. And then they'll bring the car around. They go, do you want the car? I go, yep. They go, okay, pay the rest of the money. Here's your car.
Like in the car park?
In your house.
It's actually someone's dropped off their car in the car park and it's been sold by the person who's actually supposed to be washing the cars.
Either way, I've got a car. So somebody just brings a car around, you get the car, you order it on the internet. Well, there's a company that does that now, like Cazoo or something, not brand new. But no. I think it's the same sort of thing as Tesco's tried to do then. So yeah, I bought my car from Tesco's. That's my loyalty to Tesco.
I think that adds to Tesco's case because you don't get a little petrol station, do you? You don't?
No.
Imagine a little petrol station.
Oh, that's a good point.
You get a Costco petrol station.
Do you?
You've been to Costco.
Oh my gosh, we didn't even talk about Costco.
Well, it's different, isn't it?
It's different. Oh, it's Costco off even. The coffee place.
No,
Costa. Costco.
Bro, Costco.
You're a weekly shop at
but
Costa.
But that's because your Costco's like 70 miles away. You need to make a full fucking weekend out of it.
And you need a card. You need a card. It's only exclusive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exclusive.
I've got a card. I can get in.
Imagine one of those 24-hour videos on YouTube, but in Costco.
People have done them.
In Costco?
Yeah.
Wow. I might have to.
The only thing I went to Costco is they used to do Iron Brew, brought out Fiery Iron Brew once. And when it went out with limited edition, I went and for 50p, I got about fucking 100 Iron Brew bottles. Yeah. And it took me about a year to finish them, yeah.
That's mental. But what's the membership? How much do you have to pay for Costco membership?
I guess I'd say it's like 25 quid, but they only accept certain people. So it's like your annual membership. But then, so you have, like, if you've got a limited company, that's how I've got mine through my business. Like if you're like a teacher or certain professions, you can get Costco membership. And there's different types of membership. There's like trade membership, which I've got a limited company, and there's other membership. And you can go in at different times. If you're a trade member, you can go in slightly earlier than the Costco scum.
So it's Costco scum.
I was up for Costco goers.
And the plebs in the car park saying, please let me in.
Yeah.
Is everyone like looking at each other if you're in early, like?
Yeah, nice. The other thing as well.
One of us.
The other thing you can do if you're a trade customer, you can buy big packs of painkillers, which you can't do if you're individual because there's limits legally to how many packs of Anadin you can buy. So in case you want to kill yourself, it's a bit harder.
So if you want to,
if you've got a trade account, you start a business if you really, you've got to really plan it properly. Yeah.
So that's a long way to kill yourself. Yeah.
So Costco don't sell cars or anything. They never sell cars.
They don't sell cars, no, but they now have a petrol station that's very cheap. There's no people there. Nice. You have to swipe your membership card and then get in there. But cheapest petrol around, yeah.
So just to get us back to the question, I put my cards on the table for Tesco, so does Robbie. You see Waitrose, Tori, and Cam.
Aldi.
Aldi.
I just can't.
Where's the petrol stations?
There's not, but they have Jive biscuits. And Jive biscuits are just incredible.
What the fuck is a Jive
biscuit?
It's
like a Twix, but it's cheaper and thicker.
No, what's their Mars bar one called again?
Racers. Not Snickers. I don't know. Titans.
Titans. Yeah.
Titans.
None of these.
Titans are good though.
Supermarkets, that's the word, got there in the end. None of them do car insurance though, do they?
No, none of them do car insurance.
Tesco probably fucking do.
No, but Tesco isn't on the bill here.
If you wanted to get your car insurance, where would you go though?
Do you know, Robbie, where you'd go?
Is it Adrian Flux?
It is Adrian Flux! What a man!
It's Adrian Flux, the people that will save you money on your next car insurance policy. Now I know what you're thinking, Cam. You're a young strapping lad. Yes. And who was your first car insurance policy with? I'll tell you, Michael. It was with Adrian Flux. They helped me insure my car for cheaper than I was going to get. Now, how can they do that? Basically, if you click the first link in the description right now, takes you about 2 minutes, you will get on a landing page where you'll put in some details, put in some more details, and you'll get a quote for your next car insurance policy. Now, normally, what happens with Adrian Flux is they can offer you a black box deal, which can sometimes, most of the time, half your policy. From anywhere from £600, £400, can half your policy now. Click the first link in the description. Now, thank you to Adrian Flux for sponsoring this week's episode of the podcast.
Can I just say, Adrian Flux sounds fucking brilliant.
Thank you, Robbie. So if you want to do that, check the link in the description. We would really appreciate that. And one thing you're really passionate about when you meet anyone is the bin day routine, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think, why is that, first of all?
Because I did a video that did quite well when I mentioned my bin day routine and thought I'd make it my own for money.
Brands, yeah.
Yeah.
Merch as well.
Merch, bin day t-shirt. Should have brought some.
Because that can also be a touchy subject in this house, and I think it really does stem from past issues that me and Cam have dealt with in the council house days. How was there a bin routine in the council house days, Cam?
I don't think there was a routine. You know, we used to just...
I think it would disgust you.
Yeah, we would always miss our bin day, so we'd put about... There would be about 10 bin bags in the back garden, and I remember when we had to take them out, there was rats and everything in the back garden,
There was maggots in the bin.
Oh, that was all right, though, maggots.
The maggots were all right. Yeah, that was a tame one.
Sound,
the rats will kill the maggots.
Yeah. Funny thing, my own problems were disordered to that.
That is disgusting. That's right.
There's one quote that I still remember, and it sticks with me vividly, and it's when we had a friend come around to the house once, and I was putting my shoes on, and he goes, "Where are you going?" I went, "The kitchen."
Yeah.
I had to put my shoes on for the kitchen because it was
bad.
It wasn't purely because we didn't have money. We couldn't really, so we'd miss the bin days, then we didn't have money to drive to the closest tip. So I think after 6 months we had about 30 bins in our back garden. He's sitting there and discussing right
now. Genuine question. Was this house like already a shithole when you moved in? Or did it? Was it a slightly...
Oh no, we could have made something out of it.
It was an ex-police station.
It was, yes.
Yeah, and there was like interrogation rooms which are still there, and then we moved into it.
Yeah, but we can't lie, we did make it a lot worse than what it was. That landlord, I think, still is recovering from this day.
What would you say the perfect bin day routine is, Robbie?
I really like my bin day, and it gets a bit of stick because I don't have like wheelie bins. I have black bin bags like in the olden days, because people think, oh, that's terrible. You get to put out unlimited waste, if you want, sort of thing. There's no, like, we've got to cram this into a wheelie bin. Otherwise, like, after Christmas, first bin collection's a nightmare if you've got a limited amount of stuff you can put in. But you put out black bin bags, and what I like about it, so there's one for that, there's one for recycling. They go out the same day. They're collected every week. A lot of places these days collect them less regularly. Mm. Only downside of where I am, we have to take glass to a bottle bank. Again, like it's the 80s. Like
to a bottle bank.
Yeah, it's like a thing. It was where I had when I was growing up.
Bank.
You have to go and deliver. It's like little holes and you put your bottles
in
the holes.
You never heard of a bottle bank?
So how often do you need to go to a bottle bank?
Depends on how much I've drunk.
back in my little town, if you had a bottle and you returned it, I think they stopped it after a while, but if you had a glass bottle and you returned it to the shop you got it from, you'd get 20 pence.
20 pence?
So they used to sell Iron Brew in these big glass bottles, and if you returned them, like obviously because if you smash glass, whatever, if you returned them as they were, you'd get 20 pence.
Really?
I used to live in Vancouver, and there they have a similar system, but even with plastic bottles as well, and it works quite well, because people will, bring their bottles back, but if they do throw them out, homeless dudes go through the bins and collect loads of bottles, and go, I've got 100 bottles. So they still get recycled.
Oh, shit.
They've gone through the bins and done this. So they were just bringing a bag. I mean, admittedly, if you work at a gas station like I do, you don't have like loads of plastic bottles everywhere. But it works quite well because people do go through and then do the recycling. Other people can't be asked to do it and then get the bag, 5 cent bag.
And then they can set up a limited company off that and then get a Costco card.
Wow.
Works well, doesn't it?
You don't just the bins, the black bins. You just put them out. Is there like a certain bit for them, like a certain thing?
Or you put them at the edge of your grounds, at the edge of the property.
Grounds?
By the pavement, basically, yeah. So I've got a driveway, so I go to the end of the driveway and I put them there just inside the driveway so I'm not blocking out the pavement.
They're thinking of other people.
But the thing about that is as well, you can't put them out the night before or foxes are going to ravage them. You see people do it and you just go past and they've got like all the contents of all the stuff they've got in the street. You're just getting your mug.
This is quite suburban.
Is it quite suburban? It's a village.
Yeah. As in, like, describe to me your house. Like,
you want to set
it up? No, I do not want that. Just the
GPS coordinates.
It's a detached house. It's quite nice. got five toilets.
Five toilets.
That's a lot of toilets.
That is my dream.
Fucking hell!
Oh my gosh!
There's quite a lot. My mum lives in a granny annex on the side of the house.
Yeah.
So she's got one toilet there. We've got a downstairs toilet. And then upstairs we've got the main bathroom and then two en suites.
What's the toilet that gets absolutely fondled with when you get everyone over? When you have like a party?
What, as in which one? I mean, yeah, I think you're overestimating how many parties I have. which toilet gets most use, you're saying? Well, the downstairs one, because there's only one downstairs.
I can tell what Charlie's thinking. You can see him getting angry. His little vein in his forehead comes out when he gets angry.
Do you want to say when we have our parties, what happens?
What happens, Charlie?
Just my toilet always gets fucked up, like, every single time. So I'm happy for you that you have a choice of toilet. Like, if you fancied going somewhere else...
Didn't you say there was a notorious pisser on the floor?
Okay, Robbie, think about this, yeah. So, I have my bathroom, my toilet, and I have lots of toilet rolls, and because it's the downstairs toilet, like, people use it, so then obviously the toilet rolls diminish, and then I just, I have to buy some more. And sometimes when you just look at it, you just think, wow, it's really nice to see, like, a mountain of toilet rolls. It just looks great. I think I've got slight PTSD from the beginning of coronavirus when all the toilet roll went missing. But then when you have people over and then a few alcoholic beverages, I can see we have two lovely ones right there, which we'll try in a minute. And then it just seems to happen that when people drink a little bit more, they just don't know where the fucking toilet is anymore. So I end up just walking in and I'm in Shrek Swamp, piss all over the floor. And I'm like, ah.
My friend Stu at university used to live in a toilet, essentially, because he was in a student house and he was the last person to come there when they got the rooms. And his room, it was quite a big room, it was like a normal room, but it just had, like, it was completely normal apart from the next to the bed was like a working toilet. Not in a separate room, but it was like an ensuite. He just was literally
like
in there.
Himself.
And he came there, he was the first, last person moving there, so that was the room he had. And everyone else was like, obviously no one's ever going to use this toilet, but you've got a toilet next to your bed. And he's like, okay, fine, because you're quite easy going. He goes, so that lasted, like, obviously no one did use the toilet for a bit. And then occasionally he'd be out, and if there's anyone downstairs, they go, oh, I'm just quickly going to do a quick wee. So they do that sort of thing. And eventually got to the point, I remember that it finally came to a head when his girlfriend was asleep in bed, got woken up by someone just pissing in the toilet. Going, right, we need new toilet rolls. So, yeah.
I would lose my rag.
Imagine you walk up to someone having a shit.
Yeah. Because there's always that one pesky shitter on the night out, you know, where someone just disappears for a little bit. But we don't really have night outs
anymore.
Yeah, we don't.
Seem to return.
So we just have them within our social bubble.
I think it's a good time now in the podcast. I want to try the lovely, lovely... are these IPAs?
Yeah, Binday IPA. It's my homebrew beer.
Yes.
So I started at the start of lockdown. I brewed some beer, and it turned out I could actually brew beer quite well. It turned out quite nicely, and I've been working on this. This is my own recipe now. Previously, it was different kits, but this is my own recipe. I think you're going to like it. I think this is really good.
Has it been, like, refined?
You can see it steaming off as well.
Yeah. Has it been refined and refined? Like, oh!
Oh! Oh! Party!
I should say they've been in my bag, so they might be a bit shaken up.
He's trying to sabotage me. He's from Happy Hour.
It's just not stopping.
Nice though, isn't it, Cam? Even the froth that is exploding in your mouth is pleasant. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh my god.
I don't know why he didn't stop pouring it into the glass again, rather than just letting it all froth out the floor.
Robbie, what's happening here? This one's starting.
So again, they've been in my bag and they've thrown it in.
Are these just little volcanoes?
Yeah.
Can you pour it in a glass? I don't want to touch your lips, Charlie.
Yeah,
I've
poured it in a glass.
We only have one.
They traditionally wouldn't do that if they hadn't been shaking around in my bag for so long.
Yeah. You've tried it
before. The other thing you might have is you might have a little bit of yeast in them. Not bad for you, but it might be a bit...
What's the flavour? Is it supposed to be
this is a vaguely tropically flavoured thing. I'd say I'm going to have some too.
By the way, that was wonderful even though it was exploding in my mouth.
It's basically, what I didn't realise until I started making beer was that generally it's the same... four ingredients. Thank you very much. It's the same. It's water, yeast, hops, and malted barley. And the fact that, so that's the same, if you've got like a stout sort of Guinness type thing, it's the same for Greeks, just different types of each than a sort of lagery type thing will be.
Yeah, we used to make ethanol.
Where was the idea to make this from?
As in beer in general?
Yeah, just in Stoughton.
Just something to do at the start of lockdown.
Like lockdown,
yeah. A bit bored, yeah.
I love that. So can you actually explain to me, because these are IPAs, right?
Yeah.
So
is this an Indian festival?
Indian Pale Ale, yeah. Although it's sort of an American.
Are they the same flavour?
Yeah, they're all same. They're okay. The same flavour, yeah. Oh, cool. They're sort of vaguely... So
what do... Because you've got IPAs. Yeah. You've got APAs, right? American Pale Ales.
Yep. So there's pale ale is normally a little bit less strong than an IPA thing. Mm-hmm. And there's also, so it all varies depending on the different blend of ingredients you have and what malt you use and stuff like that. So it's not that complicated doing it. I've done this out after Wednesday. So I've started. I'm starting a brewery with my friend Mike, and the idea is. I'm going to do a collaboration beer with Doc's Beers up in Grimsby.
Okay.
So I've been up there, we've made a beer together sort of thing. It's going to be available for sale.
Oh, that's class.
That's amazing.
And then the plan after that is to try and make Binday IPA eventually. So I haven't got £200,000 to buy a brewery at the minute. So we're going to use other people's facilities and sort of go, look, can we pay you to hire this out and do that? And then eventually the long-term plan will be to start an actual physical brewery.
That's so exciting.
That's amazing.
YouTube breweries. The idea being that YouTuber 25 or older because of licensing things, so Blue Van Man could come down and brew a beer and sell it.
Can I invest in shares? That's so good.
It's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah. So good.
Brewtube.
You're like the merch company.
Brewtube, I like that.
And are we sticking with the name? Is it still going to be Binday?
Binday Brewing Company.
Can I invest in shares in this? I am an avid beer.
My crypto's down, so I'd like to invest in some shares.
Yeah, eventually. Thank you. Yeah. But yeah, so it's... that's the idea of it.
I'll go for a sniff.
It's not wine.
It's not wine. Yeah, okay. Maybe I'm just an exquisite taster then.
That's lovely.
Tropical. Smells like holiday.
It's genuinely good, isn't it?
That is really nice. Like, really nice. I was half expecting...
To be fair...
Yeah, everyone's like, I thought I was just going to have to be polite.
I made beer once when I was at school.
It's quite strong as well.
We did it in biology. And mine was shit. It really wasn't nice.
My memory of homebrew beer was as a kid when people could buy these kitchen boots... and drink it, and make it, and it just stank. Like your mate's dad had make it, and stink out their kitchen. It's disgusting.
We got to do that in chemistry. We got to make our own. I think it was wine, and I was like, "Oh yeah, mine looks really good." And I asked my chemistry teacher, "Can I taste it?" And he went, "I think you will die if you have that." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So mine didn't really go that well.
Yeah, I didn't get why they made us make beer and alcohol in school if we weren't allowed to have it because we were underage. But why were you teaching underage people how to make alcohol?
I'm not too sure.
This is really nice. This has given me hope that maybe I can revisit my childhood failures.
Yeah. I remember, I don't know if this was the first video you'd done surrounding the Binday IPA, but you'd done a video where you compared that to the Elvis.
Yeah, so the idea was the kit I bought, it was just like a kit you can Elvis get for like juice. 50 quid, and it was to try and make an Elvis juice thing, and it tasted nothing like... The Elvis but juice.
Didn't thing. He? Didn't
Lloyd Griffith? He tasted and preferred.
Yeah, yours.
The one. Which like, sort of. I mean, it wasn't the way it's supposed to taste. It didn't taste like grapefruit or anything like the other beer. Mm-hmm. But it is a. I mean, it will be fresher. I mean, and it won't be made in the same way as. I mean, BrewDog's now sort of.
When was
sort of quiet?
They're very mainstream now, aren't they?
15th of March.
Yes.
So.
I'm actually really excited by this idea that you're going to start like collaborations with YouTubers.
So the idea is as well to film everything because I don't know anything about starting a brewery, but I can meet people who do. So we're following the whole journey along. So I've started. There's a separate YouTube channel, Binday Brewing Company.
Okay,
go with? Type of flavor vibe would you go with?
Oh, yeah. I want to make a banana. YouTube. I want to make a banana.
Banana.
If you've I'm assuming if you're making beers, you know beers.
I've drunk some.
Yeah. Do you like banana beer? It's lovely.
I think I've had one thing. I quite enjoyed it, yeah.
There was a place in Leeds where, I forget the name of it, I went there, and it had, like, all of these, say, for example, like, local breweries and stuff like that, and they come in, they have just so many different types of beers, like beers which are, like 9% or something stupid. Like, so after you have a pint, you're pissed. But... They have like all different types of flavors. So obviously, you have like your standard. If you go to a pub, you get like your IPAs, your ales, and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes you'll be like, "Oh, a little bit of a like Beavertown. You know, like they have like quite a few. I like Beavertown. And then they have other weird stuff. Like there's craft and all the way up to like different types of things. There's like a pumpkin beer and then banana beer. I was like, wow.
It's really very cool. Collaborative industries where it reminds me of the sort of YouTube sort of thing. I think it fits quite well because you could get breweries who aren't really competing against each other. They sort of work together and all this in a similar way that I think a lot of YouTubers compared to where I came from TV when everyone's a bit weird about that.
But
I was just going to say, I think I would simply go for a lime green apple, tropical apple cider.
Oh, really? A cider, so you're mixing away from beer.
A tropical...
Yeah, can't make cider.
A tropical apple. I think...
apple beer?
Yeah. apple beer doesn't really...
I feel like that would be a really wrong one.
So I'd have to be a tropical apple, a little bit of spice to it, cider, I think I'd have to be.
So if for collaborations on this, do you have to be over 25?
I think there are rules. I think to show someone drinking alcohol, I think you have to be over 25, I think, in marketing. I don't know the full details.
Charlie's taking
so, Robbie, I turned 25 in about 3 weeks. So I will be belling up your line to try and make our beautiful banana beer.
Marvellous.
These little punks have got 3 years.
3 years.
So he's actually, he's got 2 years. He's getting old.
No, I'm 22.
You're 23 this year, mate. 23 this year.
You're 23 this year, but you're like 2.5 years.
Yeah.
But you're 3. Yeah,
but that is something I'd be really like interested in doing. Just something that's a bit... Obviously, everyone has clothes and... people are starting to do trainers, but no one's really gone down like a kind of drinks, kind of beer kind of route.
It's something which I spoke to Harry about a while ago, because I got a couple of potential brand deals that came through, but I wasn't 25, so I couldn't get them. And so it's like, fuck.
Yeah, I could go to the Champions League final because it was with Heineken.
That's really sad.
I was gutted.
But I think you're I think you're definitely onto something there. I think that's really it's quite an exciting thing.
It'd be fun. And and there's different stages to it as well. So it's not like something that you have to really go all in on early on. There's no risk of this sort of collaboration brew sort of thing, because another brewery's done it all and done all the hard bits sort of thing, and they're gonna sell it through their sites, and then eventually go, okay, we need to take the next stage where we need to selling it ourselves, so we're doing a bit of selling it yourself, because then you need certain licensing and you need premises and all this.
So
eventually, where you have to raise money to get a actual brewery.
So is all the production done by them, and you're just kind of the marketers?
So we went up and brewed it with them. So we discussed what we did. They came up with a recipe because they know more about than us, and we just discussed that. And we made a pilot version, which is like 120, 150 bottles. I should have brought some of that for you. Oh, you're not 25. I couldn't bring that properly. This is homebrew. It's fine. We made the sort of pilot version to check it was all right, and then now we've made it in the big kit, which is going to go into cans, 440ml cans. And there's going to be, I think, something like 5,000 of those.
Are you getting marketing, people to do the designs and stuff?
So they've all got agencies and stuff like that. So we have got. Market. We've sort of fed into that and come up with the name and the idea for it. They've all seemed happy with it.
Is this the final product? Is there going to be some changes to it?
So this is nothing. This isn't the one that we're making with the brewery. So this is the one that eventually we want to sell. It's our own one. Uh-huh. So the other one that we're doing is a.
It's really strong. I'll tell you that. It's gone to my head.
Yeah. What, have you eaten yet?
Not really. No.
It's gone to my head. Is this when you're going to have a drink in the house? Is it straight? Do you go to the shop still and buy beers, or do you just go for that?
I've started during lockdown. I will sometimes, partly because I've got to get through them. I wanted to keep developing recipes and make different types of beers. So now this one I'm pretty happy with, but I want to try different styles and go, okay, so make a porter or a stout or whatever, different sort of things. And then eventually we can do different types of beers. But the problem is, you've just got loads of beer in the house. I'm going to people who live near me going, take as much beer as you want, drink it as long as you bring back the bottles, because I'll have to buy more bottles. I do, but I also buy beer from other breweries, directly from the breweries, to taste what sort of things people are doing.
What I find interesting about your audience is I was watching a few of your videos where you've brewed on camera. I think one of the top commenters, I have any clue about beer. I'm not really interested in it, but just the whole process of you making it's quite fun for people to watch.
I think if you're honest that you don't know what you're doing, I think it's people buy it. I think it's if you try and pretend, oh, I'm an expert at this, when you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But openly be going, with this thing again, the beer's no longer explode. I think we put that certainly on the pilot batch. I don't know if it made it to the final label for the can, but on the pilot batch, it says on the label, this is the first Bin Day Brewing Company beer that wasn't made in Robbie's kitchen and the first one that doesn't explode or something like that. I can't remember.
You turn that into your own little series as well, like how you've got like having a walk with, having a beer with, or making a beer with.
Yes. Yeah. And then only use your products.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much you can do. If when you start a physical brewery, if you have a tap room with it, you could have sort of YouTube events and stuff like that there. I was about to say,
imagine the ultimate flex, yeah, that you'll have someone coming over to your house, just like friends, whatever. And I'd be like, should we bring drinks? He'd be like, don't worry.
I'll bring a keg.
I'll bring a keg. Yeah. And you literally just turn around and you've just got 15 cans just inside of your fridge.
I had a nightmare of a keg once. We bought like a keg just for pre-drinks before we went out. And I was in my mate's uni flat. And we couldn't really figure it out. We're like, this is... And it exploded. Like, I can't remember how I did it, but I turned it too much.
Did you stab the keg?
And no, I was actually doing it the way, and it just fucking exploded and went all over his flat, like all over. And I was covered in copperberg, and I just looked at him like this.
Was it one of them copper kegs?
Yeah, it was.
No. Oh, they were strange, them.
And it exploded everywhere, mate.
They were everywhere. You fucked it.
Yeah. So, would you consider doing like big kegs like that with the beer? Or is it just kind of bottles and cans?
I think eventually you do kegs as well. For this one, it's mostly going in can. They're keeping a few kegs to sell in their tap room.
And is there like a certain... So, you said 5,000 cans. Mm. Is there like a certain amount you need to sell to make sure you get like another order after this?
I don't know. I mean, this is a one-off sort of thing for now. I mean, I think their beers tend to sell out anyway, so I think it will hopefully sell out. It's going to be available online. Hopefully it will sell out relatively quickly. But
let me ask you a question, because I'm genuinely intrigued about like profit margin when it comes to something like that. All right, say for example, how much for one bottle would you retail that at?
So I'm by no means an expert in this, but I think there's different margins depending on how things are sold in a lot of these things. I think generally there's not a huge markup on a lot of beer. Things like a lot of breweries that have their own tap room, that's good because you can make it at sort of cost price, but you're selling at pub price sort of thing. So that's how there's a lot of quite successful breweries that have that brew pub sort of model sort of thing. I don't really know the full details, but I know it's not they're not making like three quid a can.
Because surely the most expensive part of like making beer and stuff would be the investment in the brewery, right? And the maintenance.
It's a lot of it, and things like this have a lot of
hops and water.
But they have a lot of hops in, a lot more than you would get in a lot of the sort of more mainstream beers. And that's why craft beer costs quite a lot more than a Heineken or something like that. It is an expensive thing to buy all the kit sort of thing. But then there's people that make it work.
So. I think you need you and Becky, Babino Becky, should do a strong ones, but only on Robbie Knox's IPAs. Can you imagine that?
That'd be a great idea.
If they're homebrew ones, it's fine. I think if they're proper brew ones, then you get into the dodgy sort of 25-year-old. She's not 25, is she? No, she's not.
I thought she's like 2 years older or 1 year older.
No, she's younger than me.
Yeah.
I thought she's 24.
No, she's 98. You're 98.
Oh, is she?
98 years old.
Yes.
So, what are you rating the beer then? What we're saying?
I'm not a massive fan of beer, but first of all, the smell, tropical. I love it. Very tropical. I love it. Well,
so it's the hops in it. So it's got Savro in it, which is quite a controversial hop.
I generally feel after maybe two of them, I'd get pissed.
It's 6.4%.
Yeah, bro, it's went to my fucking head.
How much is Heineken? I don't know about copper beer. They're usually like 4% or something. Ooh. Like your standard lager is like what, anywhere between 3 and 5 at a max.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think I'm not sure what BrewDog's at Pulp Cup is. It's probably about 5.4 or something, I'd guess. I don't know. A lot of sort of things are in the sort of 5 range and 6.
Have the kids have a little swatch of it yet?
Not yet. Do you know how old you have to be to drink alcohol as a kid in this country?
Five. Inside your own home, surrounded by someone over the age, you can be 5 years old.
My 7-year-old son, Otto, I could give him a pint at home. Arlo's got to wait another year. Not till you're 5, son.
But I quite like that, though, because everyone's just like, 18, but it's not.
It's only 18 to
drink. 5 seems mentally low.
That's so low. Oh, good day at reception. There you go. Yeah, one next.
Copperberg is 4 to 4.5%. So you got an extra 2% on that.
Do you remember that there was William Hague, the politician? There was a story years ago, right? A conservative politician. There was a story about how, in an article, where he said that he had been a... he used to work delivering beer, and he used to have a pint at every place he stopped off. So he said he used to have like 14, 15 pints a day. I was like, that's such a made-up lie. Because no one's drinking 14 pints a day at work every day. And I was thinking, it sounds like something that someone who doesn't really drink beer is made up, like, thinking that's that's what a decent amount of beer is. And I remember for years laughing at this, going, I can't... Do you remember when William Hague said that? And then a couple of years ago, I was in Shoreditch. I got in an Uber, and I had all my filming gear with me. And the guy was saying, "Oh, guys, what's in the bag?" I said, "I'm filming stuff." He said, "Do you used to be on TV?" I said, "Well, you used to be in Soccer AM." He goes, "Oh yeah, no, I recognise you from that." He goes, "You're the second famous person I've had in my car today." This is like 11:30 in the morning. I said, "Who's the other?" He goes, "Look at this." He pulled out a picture of him and William Hague, this conservative politician. I said, "Oh, well, is that William Hague?" He went, "Yeah." I said, "Where did you drop him off?" He goes, "I just dropped him off at this pub in Shoreditch, getting an all-day session with his mate." I was like, "So William Hague is actually some kind of brilliant legend."
Yeah,
I've been slagging him off for years. The guy's made that up. He's actually on these amazing drinking
Can you imagine being an Uber driver, second most famous person in the car at 11:30 in the morning?
Yeah, 12 o'clock, you've got a KSI in the front.
I once went up, this is showing how old this story is. I once went up when I was at Soccer AM to Glencoe, saying that, and up in Scotland, and went to a it's like famous walking in up there. I can't remember what it's called now, but I went in there, and this guy, it's really remote. I mean, if you're into Glencoe,
Glencoe's my favourite place.
It's unreal, but it's so it feels like nothing else. Britain, sort of, when the wind goes through, we went in December.
That's why I like
snow.
It.
It's amazing.
It's
I love
like
it.
No signal, nothing. Just you. Yeah, I've got a voucher for a hotel there. I'm going to go.
Oh, good. Well, so we went in there, and I was with my girlfriend at the time, now wife, and we went in, and this guy went, "Oh," I said, "got booking." And he said, "I know, I was watching you on TV today." I was like, "Oh, you didn't watch Soccer AM for me?" He goes, yeah. He goes, "You're the second most famous person we've got in here." I went, "Oh, who's the first?" He goes, "Jimmy Savile." And this was prior to the news.
Accusation.
But I was like, "Oh, okay." Fine, let's hope.
He's going to see William Hague.
Jimmy Savile has a cottage up in Glencoe. Like, he's got a cottage up in Glencoe.
That's his favourite place.
And I don't know why, as soon as he died, someone bought it from him. And so you can't destroy it, but it gets vandalised every time someone
goes
up there.
So why would someone buy that?
I don't know, that's the question.
They're just hoping there are seeds.
Because the windows get smashed, there's spray paint all over it saying beast, pedo, whatever.
Maybe it's another pedo.
it's his pedo in arms.
Yeah.
Imagine you are that person, though, because I think it's a bit of a strange thing to buy a renowned paedophile's house, because that's probably going to happen. But if you know that Jimmy Savile no longer lives there, someone bought the house and clearly just wants to like live their happy life, and then they're just... Imagine you bring a friend over and you've just got nonce sprayed all over your walls.
Yeah.
It's not really a good thing for a first date, is it?
No, it's not.
They don't live there. I think they were planning on like renovating it, and then they've looked at that decision now and went, probably not the best idea.
Dreadful idea.
Why do you think he had it? He had a house in the middle of fucking nowhere. Middle of nowhere.
Oh, that would have some dirty secrets in those walls. Ooh.
Yeah, of course.
That's Can we move on? Because that's very uncomfortable.
There's, there's a house in Crawley that I remember reading. There's an article about this... terrorists that had this house, and it was basically the police raided and all this, and it was talking about reading the article about the house that they'd rented, and it said, "How I done the house that was previously owned by notorious child murderer." So I was like, "Can you imagine being the estate agents on this?" He's done it before. Yeah, it's a terrorist and a child murderer. Yeah, not great.
It's two owners.
Well, I don't know how many.
I mean, that's an unlucky house. Two owners,
completely separate things. A famous child murderer and a terrorist.
So they both lived in that one house.
Yeah, I mean, have that Foxton's.
If I was the estate agent, I'd like promote it as like it's a versatile house, right? It's a house which can create a lot of different kind of people.
Yeah,
you know, making a lot of adventures.
Raise you right.
What's your channel? What is like your goals for the future? Do you have like obviously you're saying you're going to document your BR on another channel, but on your personal channel, do you have any like things that are in the works? Anything that you can get excited about?
No.
Next question, Robbie.
I've been doing the walk videos that you very kindly did to the cameras. A lot of fun. So I'm going to start doing those up again. I've been trying to do it for the last 3 weeks, which has been raining every single day.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start doing up those again, and just anything generally. I've
been doing your Twitch streams a lot, haven't you?
Yeah, because it was really easy to do. Yeah, during,
football manager. I seen
Mönchengladbach. Gladbach.
Dunfermline for a bit, yeah.
Do you know who he was managing?
Dunfermline. Mate, I was in them.
He was managing Dunfermline. He was managing Dunfermline. I was like... Because you thought, I was like, that's such a funny story. Because I was like, that's my local team. And you were saying, what was it? You said your mate was friends with Jim Leishman.
Yes, my friend Gordon. His, so strange. So his wife is Jim Leishman's daughter.
Yeah, and then that's your tie to Dunfermline.
Yes, so, essentially. Yeah,
is that your
favourite
Scottish team?
No.
Okay. What's your favourite Scottish team then?
My granddad was a Rangers season ticket holder. So I always liked Rangers. But then I've got a lot of friends with Dundee United fans.
What about Celtic?
I've got a lot of friends on Celtic fans. I'm not particularly.
If you Dunfermline's in the picture.
If you choose,
I like Dunfermline as well.
If you choose either Rangers or Celtic, like the other end of the fans, like abuse you so badly.
Bro, bro,
that's very much why I'm saying. I also got a lot of
Partick Thistle.
Yeah.
Partick Thistle. Mate, you should see my live streams, my comment sections, my DM. It's all Celtic Rangers. I go fucking neither. And I used to say it to you after the Old Firm, whoever's team lost, let's say Rangers lost, Rangers fans wouldn't come into school the next day because they knew they'd get fucking very just bizarre. Abused.
I mean, I've always been Celtic because my granddad was Celtic, but I quite like Rangers. I'm not really a proper Scot. I'm really not.
You're not a proper Scot? Really?
I'm half Scottish. I'm probably the most English Scottish person.
I couldn't tell.
I haven't got any English in me. I'm more English than Italian.
Sucker in, we'd never get Rangers or Celtic fans on their own on the show. So if they were like playing together... we'd get both sets of fans on because it's just too much hassle to have one on.
It's Liverpool Everton. If you had a Liverpool fan, it'd be fine. Rangers Celtic for some reason.
It's another level.
Scottish football is still in the place where football in the Premier League was in the 90s and 80s. Like it hasn't become gentrified.
I just think,
like,
you don't, bro, I love it. Like, you see the tackles at Scottish games. Yeah.
No VAR, no refs, sometimes he goes off the pitch.
Think about the rivalries you've got. So you've got like Manchester Leeds, it's a big game for Leeds, but not really so much for Manchester. But so you've got Manchester United versus City, obviously. Then you've got Liverpool, Everton, West Ham, Spurs, Arsenal. These are supposed to be like really big games, even like West Ham, Millwall. These are supposed to be huge games where you expect battles on the pitch. Every single time, last time I've seen Liverpool versus Everton, it was the most stalemate match ever.
Always 0-0.
It's so boring. And I was like, where is the... I just want Eric Cantona to run on the pitch and two
for Liverpool.
Yeah. No, for United, obviously. But I'm characters like that. Whereas it feels like it's still like that for Scottish football.
I think it's just hilarious how Scotland's like Celtic, 170 points. Rangers, 169. Dundee, 7.
So earlier this year, I was so annoyed by VAR that a few friends are on a WhatsApp group. Should we just start supporting a Scottish team? And one of our mates has moved up to Dundee. So we said, let's start supporting Dundee United. So we're having our little jokes about that. Going, lads, who do you think is going to finish top two in the SPL this year? Anyone got any ideas? I don't know. It's a tough one. Yeah.
Dundee United, they used to have like Andy Robertson in that, didn't they?
Yeah, Dundee have kind of fell off a little bit now.
Celtic used to have Van Dijk now.
He was fucking unreal for them. Unreal.
I'm not surprised, mate.
Well, he was on free kicks for them.
I'm not surprised, mate.
I think he scored a free kick once. He was fucking unreal.
I think rumours were that Gerrard was potentially going to leave Rangers to go to a Premier League team. I think would have been just the most horrendous thing for them.
I want him to come when Klopp leaves, but I think I also don't want him because of Lampard.
Yeah, because exactly. You see, I'd like him to be at Rangers for however long then, like what you say when Klopp takes it. That's like the ideal way, but will that happen? You know, some people be like, you need to prove yourself in the Championship, but you know who fucking that is.
Where do you think, Robbie, you can give the answer first and then other boys follow. If Rangers and Celtic did a Super League for them and just basically broke away from the Scottish League and came to the Premier League, which I genuinely think if they actually want to be taken seriously, then that's what they'd have to be doing. So Celtic and Rangers moved to the Prem. Where do they finish in the league?
Is it with the current squad?
Yeah. Current squad. Current they'll obviously squad. Get money that does come through eventually. They will grow.
Mid-table, right now, I'd say.
Mid-table?
I reckon.
I generally think Rangers would be mid-table. I would say Celtic would be in the bottom five, six at the moment, like with their current team. But Rangers have got a good squad. Like, this is one thing that really annoys me as a Scottish football fan. They'll go, they're fucking, look at European squad versus Rangers. Fucking Celtic played Man City at their prime and they finished like 3-3 or something like that.
I agree. I don't understand yet why we have the EPL, the Premier League, but you have teams like Swansea, Cardiff yeah. which are in the setup, but then you don't have.
And then
like
they
Rangers.
Go to the Championship.
Yeah, exactly. But then you don't have Rangers and Celtic.
Is there it'll kill Scottish football.
Is there a Welsh league?
There is, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just so shite that I think that's why they did
which
that.
Which is why you have those two Welsh teams in our setup. But I think
it's. And Bristol? Isn't that Wales?
No,
but
Wrexham.
Yeah.
Oh, Wrexham. Wrexham. Wrexham.
Scottish people would actually die if that happened.
The thing is. Do Scottish fans of like genuine football not just get bored when it's always going to be Celtic or Rangers? Like it's just
but
always going to be there.
It was Celtic for so long, wasn't it?
Yeah, but Rangers like capitulated, but then they've worked their way back up. Do you know how corrupt that's got to be able to be double relegated and then come back up and then win the league?
Taking it right back to the question, no like plans that you like got any works? So, like obviously you say you got your walks and stuff is just to keep you
yeah
them
just
on.
Keep going. I mean I've not got any. I've just reached 100,000 subscribers.
Yeah, so that.
Let's go, baby.
How was that? You got your
plaque?
Was like, that? How did you feel when you hit that? It's like a big thing.
Not really. No, I was at Legoland. And someone messaged me, goes, you're about to get 100,000 subscribers. I went, am I? And looked at something out for ages.
How was that Legoland?
Have you ordered your plaque?
No, I don't know.
Do you have to order it?
I don't know what you do.
Yeah, you wouldn't know, mate.
Was that just you and the wife at Legoland? You know, left the kids behind.
Yeah, just me and my own. on the lash. All my kids' birthdays are in April, so we just like it works out quite well. They're all born in April, like 3 years apart. We've got like a mating season.
I'm April
12th. So Kitty's the 9th. Otto's the what is the
April 12th. Yeah. Titanic sank.
You've managed to make that depressing.
Yeah. And Arlo's 22nd. So, yeah, there's three of them. Yeah, three kids and me all birthdays in April. Good month.
Who is
Knox's
your
birthday month?
Obviously, you've been. How many episodes of the walk have you done now? How many in total?
I'd guess 15. I don't know. Yeah.
So, this is a question. I see Cam's got it written down as well. I just want to ask, out of everyone you've taken the walk, who's been your favourite one?
And obviously, Cam.
After me. Obviously.
After Cam. No, including Cam.
No, it's okay. And Cam's for the next one. And your least favourite one. It doesn't have to be necessarily to do with them as a person, just like the whole day. Like, if something really went wrong that day, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Favourite one. I really enjoyed the one with Becky because
Sorry, Cam.
We got drunk. Afterwards,
yeah, she told me that you just got pissed all day.
It was so funny because when you meet someone, you don't think, oh, I think we're going to get on well, but you never really know
until you do
first time sort of thing. And it was so because also I'd never have. She'd messaged me, I think first of all about something. I said we should do a video sometime. I was going to go, I don't think I ever would have messaged her because I think it's a bit weird, like for a bunch of randomly messaging her, do you want to do a video or something?
Do you want to get drunk sometime?
I just think it would have been weird. I don't think I ever would have messaged them. I think it would have been weird. So we went out and did this, and we had such a lovely day together that all the way through, every like hour or so, because we were there for like 8 hours, just we walked for a bit and then we went drinking. Every hour or so, one of us would go the other one going, I'm having such a nice time. This is such a nice day. And it just went on like that. So I think that was probably my favourite for that reason. Leif, I don't know.
Cam
was the day that lockdown started, wasn't it? That was now time we were out.
Sorry, it was Cam.
So maybe for that reason. No,
I could take it.
No, well, that's the easy option because then I can say that it's jokey around, whereas if I just slag off someone else, it's going to be...
Mark Goldbridge.
So we'll go Cam.
It could be whether, like, it just started torrential raining.
Stevie White one was rainy, but he had a leaf on his head throughout the entire thing.
A leaf on his head?
You don't remember?
That's clever.
I didn't notice at the time, but he had a leaf on his head. It seemed like the entire thing, there's a leaf on his head. It's like, what are you... What's wrong with you?
What was Mark Goldbridge like?
Nice. Yeah, really nice. Yeah. We literally just, I got there, did the walk, and then got the train back, went up to Birmingham to do it sort of thing. But it was good. It was sound, yeah.
Is he fully in character the whole time? Or is it like him?
I think he's similar, but he obviously plays it out. I think we've got a similar sort of thing.
Yeah,
in that we're sort of an exaggerated version of ourselves, possibly. And so, yeah, but no, we were discussing, and in fact, we were saying how people often say to me, you're so unintentionally funny. I'm trying. I'm just documenting this, thinking this is a serious sort of thing. And he says he gets the same as well. So I got my last video, I got message going, man, this guy's so unintentionally funny. So I just takes it to Mark going, it's our favourite comment. And he's going, one day we'll find out whether it's a compliment or not. it was good. It was good.
You're all very like, your content is very similar where you're both kind of, it's kind of like a Binde, he does his cooking. It's just kind of daily things, but play up to it a little bit.
It just makes me crazy. It used to be a police officer. I don't know why. It just makes me
fucking crease.
I was just interested what he was like on the wall, because obviously it's not cut or anything. It's just like him himself and used the Rochelin.
No, he was good. He was just nice. Just as you'd expect. Yeah, probably not as over the top.
Yeah,
but in that he's more chatty rather than playing a sort of character. Yeah. But yeah, he's good.
I reckon you should take Hasbulla on a walk.
Oh God,
Hasbulla. How have you managed to
the Lebanese militant organisation?
That's going to be a deep one. Save that for a rainy day.
We were essentially, for people who are listening and watching right now, we were talking on the podcast as we cut cameras to
about the massive fight.
About a massive fight which is happening in
Russia.
With
very little people.
But with very small people. We asked Robbie if he knew who Hasbulla was, and he said... yes.
I said,
what,
the Middle Eastern organization?
And
he's got a YouTube channel. I was like,
Hasbulla's
got a YouTube channel.
I thought he was a big...
Doing the bindies?
At first, I thought he was an Abdul fan. I thought he was like, yeah, Hasbulla is. I thought he was like, oh, okay. But no.
You say, well, we want to have a little, chat about it. And I was like,
open the window a little bit, you know.
Pretty surprising topic of conversation.
Lewis, what are you trying to angle from this?
Oh, I wasn't. I was just saying Hasbulla is a perfect person. Let us know, guys. Who do you think will win, Hasbulla or Abdul?
Okay, so the next topic of conversation.
I want to keep it on your walks.
Yes, we'll go on to that.
Because who else have you had? You've had Helen Anderson, Jack.
Yeah, Kieran Carlin.
Kieran Carlin, yeah.
It was good.
Least favourite?
Was he my favourite?
No, after camp.
After camp. No, it rained a bit. I'm just basically at the weather. Everyone's been nice. It did rain a bit, but it was good. We had
Jack,
Stevie White, the easy people to get. Blue Van Man.
Blue Van Man, he done well. What was your inspiration for starting that? Because I know obviously you can just say, I just want to have a walk with them, but was there... certain, like a video?
Laziness, because the thing is, if you do something in a room, you have to have lighting, and if you do something in like a city, you have to worry about the sound. If you go to the countryside, it's just really easy, and I'm a lazy man. And so I was like, well, I'll just do that, and I wanted to do something with to meet other people sort of thing. And it's quite an easy thing. It was also, I decided doing it during the pandemic where the only thing you're allowed to do consistently was go for a walk.
But it does...
That was a strange time.
Yeah, it does really well though, because it's not necessarily something which you'll sit down and be like, okay, but if if you're getting ready and you're doing stuff and you want like a chill 30-minute video in the background, I think it's really good for that, because it's kind of like a podcast, but it's... in a different sense, so it doesn't feel like a podcast.
Like a podcast, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's like you're sort of eavesdropping on it.
There's
a chat that's going on and you happen
to
be...
like a fly on the wall.
Yeah. And it's always, like we were saying about laziness as well, it's always easier to, because I know this when I do, collabs are so much easier because you don't have to worry about yourself all the time. You can rely on them to do the dirty work.
Would you ever consider doing it more... I know there's a guy, I don't know if you know him, you know UFC guy, Brendan Schaub?
Definitely.
He has Below the Belt, which is exactly like your thing, which is like a walk, they'll have food, whatever. But it's like very high production, cameramen, different lenses, everything. Would you ever consider trying to up the value? Or do you think the value is in how, like, kind of...
Raw.
Raw.
I think you could do, but again, they don't make enough money to justify spending lots of money on them. Yeah. But I think they're quite nice at the minute. They tend to look quite... They're very simply shot. But they're, I've got quite a nice camera. I've got a decent enough kit to make it look quite nice. But also, what I like about it is that there's nothing, apart from maybe getting the guests, there's nothing that anyone else couldn't do. It's not particularly complicated. There's no real beyond anyone could do that.
Tell that some of them B-roll shots that you make. That's one of the best things when we're walking. Yeah. He goes, 2 seconds, let's put the camera down. He goes, we're just going to walk past it.
And then we'll walk past the other way, so it looks like it's two different shots. But we've forgotten by then, because it's half an hour in between. There's a lot of that. Isn't it difficult to walk when you're thinking about walking?
You feel like
I'm not sure how this is how I walk. I'm like dragging a leg behind
walking
me.
Like someone from GTA.
Like Naomi Campbell.
Who's the person that's most like surprised? You're like being like, oh... They were like nicer than I thought, or just different than I thought. I don't even mean in like a good or a bad way. Just someone you've been like,
and a different preconception.
I was surprised by how lovely Kev was. Not that I didn't think he would be, but the fact that he bought my kids presents,
that was
having never
cute.
Met them, was like the loveliest thing ever. And to be fair, now every time
manipulation,
if you ever come up with a conversation, I always go, "Cam is the loveliest bloke. He's the loveliest bloke. He bought my kids presents." Right? So it worked.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Did they cry on Christmas?
Well, because the presents were back.
So. Yeah. No, I don't think so. But you'd also, you'd thought about what they like and stuff like that as well. It was really thoughtful.
No, it's like a stretch Superman, you know.
Is that what it was?
No, because I remember, I was watching a vlog, and which of your sons was like Spider-Man?
Arlo, I think.
Arlo, yeah. So I was like, okay, I think I bought him a Lego Spider-Man thing.
I think I might have swapped the two presents over, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
Because I don't think I would have been able to. I think you probably would have, actually. I think I made a mistake. I think you were right and I was wrong.
Yeah.
But I think I've swapped them over thinking, well, he's going to struggle making the bits.
Yeah, because it had the age was like plus seven. I was like,
yeah. I thought, well, that's near Otto's age. I might swap them over. I think I might have done that. But in hindsight now, Isla does do a lot of superhero Lego. So you were probably just more on the ball.
Ahead of the curve.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can aspire to be that.
Yeah.
That's what I bought them for. It wasn't just a gift, it was something to aspire to be.
It was like a message for the future.
Yeah.
Like, one day you will do
one
this.
One day, if you work
but
hard enough.
He's an engineer or a superhero. Yeah.
A bit of pressure on us. You know, next time I meet Robbie, I'll have a trust fund ready for them. You know?
A trust fund?
For when they turn 18.
Like an ISA.
Yeah, and I'll have a junior ISA set up for them.
Yeah, that was very, very kind of you.
Well, I think we've covered everything we want to talk about.
Pretty much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Robbie, for joining with today.
Thank you for having me. It's been the best day of my life.
Best day of your life?
Best day ever.
Easily.
Even better than the Christmas when Cam gave great presents to your kids.
For me, because I didn't get a present. Yeah.
Yeah.
He got some sausage rolls. So,
Yeah, but anyway, we're going to take it into the audio-only version. Where can they find you, Robbie, if people want to check you out?
The internet. I presume everyone knows how to find. I mean, they can.
It'll be in the
I've got a YouTube channel.
Watch out for his brewery. It'll be out by the time this is out. And thank you very much for watching. Like, subscribe, all of that. And we'll see you in the audio only.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the audio section of the Antisocial Podcast. Thank you all for joining us. If you haven't joined us, well, you won't know, but fuck yous. One thing I wanted to mention, what we're going to talk about in the podcast, but I forgot, is the Tesco story. Because I seen it on the Happy Hour, and I wanted to talk because I also resonate with this because I too have had testicle problems.
Oh, go on.
You have my attention.
You
do have my attention. Can I just ask, what was the issue with yours originally for people that don't know the story?
Testicular torsion. So it's where it's gone. Are you a fellow TT man?
Yep.
TT man. Did you have the operation?
I had the operation. Yep, I had the operation, and mine's are now tied. So if anything ever happens. But that wasn't it.
It's like your RoboCop. It's like we're in Harms.
How did yours happen? I feel like we can really resonate.
So I just woke up in the morning and...
like tennis balls.
And it felt sore. It felt like it was tangled around its core, basically, like that. So normally I never go to the doctors, but I'm like straight to A&E today. So.
Yeah, because when it's your baby makers, it's a bit more sensitive. How old were you when this happened?
So it was before I had kids, so I would have been... Well, I don't know. It was about 10 years ago. So
I was 13, 14, so I was quite young when it happened, and I just woke up and my balls were the size of tennis balls, and I was like, oh, this isn't healthy. And luckily, but weirdly enough, my mum worked in urology at the same time. So I was like, mum, I might need a favour. I think I've got a little problem down there. And then I went the next day, and they're like, yeah, your balls are twisted. They generally said to me, give it 1 or 2 weeks and it should be fine. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I went back after 2 or 3 weeks. I'm like, yeah, it's not getting better. But like, we're going to have to do an operation on this. And I was like, oh, okay.
How in that moment, somebody says, we're going to have to do an operation on your testicles. As soon as you hear that, what runs through your head?
Do you want to know the actual thing that went through my head? It was winter time and it was fucking freezing. And I went, thank God I don't have to go to rugby or football training in this weather. Like, genuinely, it was fucking freezing and pissing it down every training session. So I was like, thank fuck, I get 6 months off rugby and football. I genuinely thought that at the time, so I was actually, fuck yeah.
You tell your mates, go and twist your balls and get the season off.
I'm actually a fucking weirdo as well because I like, I've never had an operation, so I was quite excited. I was like, I've never had an operation, this is exciting.
Who the hell is ever excited? Like, I'm dreading the day I have to have an operation.
Yeah, but no, general anaesthetic's mental.
Yeah. Mm.
It feels like no time's gone. I thought it'd be like going to sleep and then you have dreams and you woke up. Like, I remember them counting down, going like 20, and then it felt like I blinked and my eyes and I was like,
yeah, and
it was like no time had passed. It was like a click.
Because I didn't know at this time what it was, and they put me on laughing gas, and I started laughing. I was like, sorry, I don't know why I'm laughing. And I was goddamn dead.
They killed
me. I've also had local anaesthetic as well. I got my ears pinned back when I was alive, and I landed myself
when
a
you
job.
Were alive?
when I was alive, yeah, I was alive. Mm. And but yeah, that was an issue with my little box, and yeah. And then I got diagnosed with chronic epididymitis, so still got problems with my box. So yeah.
How did it happen with you then?
So I just woke up in the morning and I had this pain. So I went to the hospital and I saw a succession of increasingly more attractive female doctors as the day went on, and they gave me like an ultrasound. I remember being in there and they gave me this ultrasound, and I remember the woman saying, "I'll just give you an ultrasound. Have you ever had an ultrasound before?" I said, "No, it's a thing that you give to pregnant women, isn't it?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "I don't think this is going to be a very pretty baby. Not even a smile, not even a smirk, nothing." So tough crowd. So I went through this. Eventually, when I got to the end, they said, the consultant came and said, "Look, what you've got a thing called torsion detorsion. So it's twisted, but it's either through being here or you fiddling around yourself, it's untwisted itself. It still hurts because there's bruising, but it will, that will subside and it'll be fine." And I went, "Okay, good, good." She said, "One, the only issue is now it's happened once, it's more than likely going to happen again. But there's a small procedure we can do that will stop that from happening." Mm-hmm. I said, "All right, sounds good, sign me up, just out of interest. Well, we're here, I should probably
ask.
Got to
be off.
What is this small procedure?" She goes, "Oh, it's nothing major. Just come in one day. It's not a big deal, really. Come in one day, we'll give you general anaesthetic, and then we'll sew your testicles to your scrotum." Like, "So what?" Like, I don't know what you think.
Is that what's been done to me as well, then?
Well, I don't know. I've not checked the process properly.
I'll get them out right now. Guys, I'll get my testicles out right now. I thought that as well, because he was like, "We tied them to whatever, so it won't do it again." So I was like, "Oh, I didn't really know what they did, but I just knew that it wouldn't happen again."
If you're sewing my testicles to anything, never mind my own scrotum, that is pretty, mate. That's not a small procedure to me. But she said, "Well, the alternative is, if it happens again, you don't get here in time, they could die and fall off."
Jesus Christ.
I was like, wait, let me set a date then, no problem.
Is it because she's a female? She probably doesn't understand, like, if sewing your testicles to your scrotum is actually quite a...
Well, I don't know. I suppose by the... In the scale of hospital, I suppose there is worse things to have to happen. But then when I went along and I went for, like, the pre-operative assessment where they check that you won't die if you get anaesthetic, basically. They just go through a few things. And so I went and I was chatting to the pre-operative assessment nurse, this guy called David. He went, "So first of all, what's the procedure you're having done?" And I said, "Well, I don't know what you call it, but you're going to sew my testicles, my scrotum." He said, "Yeah, I didn't think this looked right." I said, "What doesn't look right?" He said, "Oh, it says here we're removing them both."
No.
Like, "Sorry, David, what?" He said, "All right." He said, "Do you mind if I make a phone call to make all the calls you want, my friend? I would rather this was sorted out." So he phones up. So he gets on there and he phones up this woman, and they start having an argument. And it's the doctor's handwriting. The word for cut off testicles and the word for sew testicles to scrotum are very similar words. It feels like a mistake. I think one should start with A, one should be Z, like, let's be as far away as possible in the alphabet. They're very orchid something it was. So I was like this, and the argument, she's going, "It says this," and he's going, no, it definitely says this. I'm going, there's no point in arguing. She's not going to win. But I'm going to go, "Well, if that's what it says."
It's like when a dog gets angry, you just... So when it falls off.
So eventually he got off the phone to her and went, "Oh, sorry about that." I went, "Oh, no problem." And he went through and he said, "Oh, God, imagine if it had happened there. Imagine how much money you could have saved the hospital for." I was like, "You also have no balls. So let's chalk this up as a win, David." And then he got through everything, went through all these sort of things. He said, "Oh, I've got no problem recommending you for anaesthetic for next week's procedure." He said, have you got any questions? just one, David. I said, "Are they going to cut off my balls next week?" And his honest answer, he said, "I'd mention it on the day."
Where the fuck was this place, by the way?
When everyone's clapping for the NHS, they don't bring this up, do they? So part of me thinks, oh, well, that's why they do these tests, so that this doesn't happen. But also part of me was like, "Oh, okay." But I was also at the back of my mind thinking, this is a great story for the future. So I turned up on the day and you meet the anaesthetist first. And I said, "Mate, this is going to sound really weird." And he went, "I know what you're going to say. You said that when you first got here. Don't worry, I've changed it." I said, "What?" He said, "We're going to remove your testicles." I went, "Yeah, so you're not." He goes, "Well, it's obviously a mistake because no one's discussed the fact that it would make you infertile or something like that. It's just really casually done." I said, "All right, it's cool, thank you." So anyway, and it wasn't like in the films where you get wheeled into an operating theatre. You walk into the operating theatre, you lie down, they put you unconscious and then do there. So all the people around there are ready to go. So I go there, and I'm not one to cause a fuss. I'm generally pretty relaxed. Like, if something's wrong with my food, I'll ignore it in the restaurant. But then I went, hi, everyone. I said, hi. I know this is going to be annoying, but when I came here before and today, it said they were going to remove my testicles. I just want to check that everyone here knows you are not cutting off my testicles. And then the surgeon seemed really annoyed at me, but I was like, I don't care, mate. I'm going to give this. So he went, yeah, no. So I said, you got it? Yeah, everyone's yeah. Somebody said, I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to hear you say it. Because a grunt is not going to be sufficient on this occasion. So that went, okay, knock me out. And I was thinking, if I was the surgeon, I definitely would have, as I was going under, just go, right, let's get this guy's nuts off. So yes, I woke up in the morning. First thing was Finn. Right, they're still there. Good. Okay.
Oh my god! I wish we started the podcast off of that. Oh my god, that is hilarious.
One sec.
I start massively, but quite apologetic.
Yeah. I'll be back.
Makes my story seem tame now. Like mine was obviously as brutal as that, but like the worst thing that ever happened is when I got my ultrasound on my balls. I had to watch three students watch me as they were looking at my little tiny teenage balls, just sitting down taking notes, and they were just trying to make small talk with me, and I was like,
quite wrinkly.
I don't know what their notes were, mate. They might have done that. Quite small.
Yeah. I found the paperwork the other day because I was clearing out of my office, and it was the paperwork from the first time I went and got examined at the hospital, like that. I don't know, reread it properly like that. It went through this thing, and it said we examined his testicles, and it said one testicle is noticeably smaller than the other. I was like, is it? I never noticed. I've done quite a lot of fiddling around. Which one? I mean, they're the same. Is that a thing that girls in the past were going, it's weirdly, weirdly asymmetrical balls? Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not too sure. Maybe one just carries the sack, mate.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know what was getting on. Yeah.
Let's see what questions we've got for you, Roberto.
I've got one straight away, which is a bit controversial. Probably going to divide opinion. Anyway, it's from Sully Joes. He said, is antisocial better than happy hour?
Not going to the charts, I wouldn't say.
Oh.
No, I mean, I'm here. I'm just saying. I'm just saying that is a thing. So I mean, I really like happy hour.
You just went for the jugular right there. That's a bit.
Our balls aren't twisted, but yours are.
But look, what's quality? Is numbers quality? I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying that is one metric that happy hour would win on quite easily.
It
but
is age a thing? You know, age, like we're a lot younger, there's a lot more potential, you know.
Okay.
I thought that sounded like your defence in court or something.
Yeah. Age is just a number.
Just taking the piss.
Yeah, quite possible. Yeah, I wasn't on the podcast this week, though, because Jack did his Operation Slugworth thing, so they're doing an episode with Alfie Indra instead and all that. So I feel like I'm a bit like, or like some girl whose like boyfriend won't commit, so I've gone to like get off with his mate or something like that. You got to put a ring on it. You got to come over here.
They've been through a lot of co-hosts, like they have, haven't they? They've had a good four now.
I think Jordan and Alex. I think is the only ones that gone.
Do you enjoy the whole like aspect of doing the podcast then?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, it's like this lovely having a chat. It's fun, isn't it? Something. Yeah, I really enjoy doing it. It's one of my favourite things to do.
Are you involved on like guest ones, or is it mainly just
no? It's just I was on the one with Max Fosh just because. I guess I know Max Fosh. We're talking about mayor stuff the other day. Yeah. He's great, isn't he? Mm. He's a good walk. He did a walk. He's really good. You don't need that many people. I know you've got three. I wouldn't add anything by being on the guest ones, I don't think. It's just the ones with me, Jack and Stevie, that I do.
Would you ever consider doing a podcast, kind of your podcast?
I've done things in the past, before I did YouTube things. I did like a parenting one for a bit. And neither of them are online now with my friend Sally. In quite the early days of podcasts. And then I did a one about creativity that, again, isn't up anymore, sort of thing. So I've done little bits and bobs on that. But if it was a niche type thing, I probably would. But I don't think I'd do one. I might do one for, like, the brewery for stuff, for example. Yeah. But I wouldn't do just a generic one because there's no point if I won Happy Hour.
Did you have one with Lloyd Griffiths? Was that
Do you know what? Actually, yeah, that's true. We did a thing during Cooped Up just because I think Lloyd lived on his own and was quite board called Cooped Up, where it was literally talking about what we did that day. So it was like, and we did it every single day, certainly during the first lockdown.
Was that daily?
Yeah, it was daily during that. And then we sort of stopped, and then the second lockdown we did it most days, and the third lockdown we did it a bit because things were starting to open up a bit more. But in the first day it was literally, you've been outside today, and I did this because it was so monotonous. Yeah, it was just that. So
Imagine having a podcast every fucking day.
I'd burn out.
That's how Joe Rogan does, like, two or three a day.
But this is like 20 minutes of just like a phone call. What are you up to? It was literally that something, and that was the idea of it. It was just some
Woo-Too
to document it.
Do you remember those MSN days?
WUU2. Yeah. Have we got any more questions?
Yeah, I've got a question here. Someone has come in and they've said, "What's your favourite moment from your career so far?"
Ooh. I think some of the stuff I did at Soccer AM was really exciting. Like we got to play football at Wembley Stadium.
That's amazing.
It was pretty good. It was the first proper ramp up event. So when you open a new stadium, it turns out you can't just open a stadium and hold the FA Cup final. You have to prove it's safe at different capacities.
Yeah.
So this is the first day Wembley Stadium was open to the public, and there were like three teams playing like a little 11-a-side round robin tournament, like 20-minute games, or whatever. So it was like there's a Soccer AM team and coming with the other two. So it was us and loads of like ex-pros and all the teams and all this sort of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I remember I was in goals. I'm the first goalkeeper to win a trophy at the new Wembley Stadium.
Cheers.
I remember being in goals when I used to watch it.
But I remember one of them being so out of position. Like, I remember Mark Bright just bursting out laughing. Well, you stood there. I go, I don't know, mate. I don't know what I'm doing. Because I played Sunday League in goal, but I didn't play there. But I was quite nervous beforehand. And being a Liverpool fan growing up, like, John Aldridge was one of my heroes. And he was on our team. And beforehand, and I was sort of thinking, if you're in goal, it's quite a good position to humiliate yourself. You can do something idiotic, can you, sort of thing like that. So I thought, so I was a little bit nervous for it. And he went, well, would you want me to warm you up? And I was like, yep, sure.
Oh, yes.
But I was like, I've no idea what that means. You're going to give me a massage. He took me into a little room out the back of Wembley, but there's the sort of changing rooms, and then you go into a little room, it's just like AstroTurf on the floor, and it starts pinging balls.
It's madness,
isn't it? So it was like, catching all those sort of things. And I was going, like, this is mental. If, like, 15-year-old Robbie could tell, it could seem like...
Is that when he had the long hair, was it?
Yep,
yeah. Because I remember I told you this on the walk. I used to watch Soccer AM every morning with my dad. And then I remember you being on it when you had the long hair, but I didn't actually recognise you when you got into YouTube.
Yeah, it's been quite a long time. So very rarely does someone come up to me now and recognise me from Soccer AM.
The long hair was lovely, by the way. I was like... So look.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a bit where I had like highlights in, like a sexy lion.
You're like a sexy Russell Brand.
Sexy Russell Brand. Is Russell Brand not sexy in himself?
He is sexy. Yeah. Oh, not anymore. He's gone spiritual. I'd say that's higher level of enlightened sexy.
Right. Maybe he's more in tuned with himself. Mm. What you're trying to say?
That is very attractive.
Yeah.
Maybe just a wholesome one to wrap things up on. What's your favourite movie?
Ooh, good question. It's either, I'll give you three. I like Casablanca, I like The Blues Brothers, or I like American Pie 2.
So that's a bit of a
nice mix. And mix of things there, yeah. I think Blues Brothers might be historically over time my favourite, possibly.
I love The Blues Brothers.
It's unreal.
So good. Watch it with me, Nan and Granda.
I went to see John Landis, who directed it, doing like a Q&A thing. There's like 25 of us there. It's unbelievable. Some of his stories, absolutely mental about filming it and all that sort of stuff.
They were hilarious, weren't they?
Such a brilliant film. That car chase in it. He was saying they basically wanted him to do the film, and he'd done Animal House. He was like sort of got a hot property at the time. They wanted him to do it, and he said it had to be out by a certain weekend. He said that's a really good way to get whatever you want out of them. He said, I'll do it if you can do this. I need this much money, I need this. He said, and he was just like making stuff up. We go, we need like 300 car chase. They're going, will we be out by this weekend? He's going, yep, yes, it will. So okay then, yeah.
Is Blue Brothers, that's the one when James Brown's on the stage, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's doing the gospel thing and then...
Aretha Franklin and that, yeah. He was saying as well, I mean, I'm trying to think what year it was. It was probably like 1980-ish or something like that. But he was saying they had real trouble getting the soundtrack released properly. They wouldn't release it the actual thing because it was all black music, and even at that time they were sort of like, oh, no one's going to want to buy this. He said they wouldn't let John Lee Hooker, who on the thing he said he's like too old, too black. That's what they said about him.
Too old and too black.
And then his song was on, the song he sings with the song was on a Levi's advert, went to number one around the world.
Yeah.
So he's phoning up going, oh yeah, look at this now.
And what?
He said the racism encountered on that film was unreal.
Was James Brown not massive at that point though?
Yeah. Still obviously racism.
I thought like obviously he's got his own singles and stuff that would have been in the charts and stuff, but obviously off the movie they just couldn't.
I don't know. I mean, I think I'm right in saying I might got this wrong, but I think you're saying it was released on a different record label too.
Oh,
but expected. Okay. So it came out as, unlike, I think, what was historically a black record label sort of thing, if it was what I believe he said. It was quite a while ago.
Interesting.
What's your favourite movie?
See, the thing is, I've got loads of favourite movies, but whenever people ask me that, my head goes blank, so the only one I can name is just Trainspotting.
Great. I have my hair bleached after I watched Trainspotting. Yeah, in the 90s.
I've never seen it. Trainspotting.
It's
brilliant.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Is that with Ewan McGregor?
Yeah.
You'll love it. You'll be like, Obi-Wan. There
Obi-Wan is. Obi-Wan Kenobi, yes.
Did you watch the second one?
Yeah. By your face, not liking it. I thought,
not really, no.
See, normally I'm quite touchy when it comes to like sequels that are like 20 years after, but I was really impressed by it. I thought it was really good.
I found it was too, it referenced everything too much, but it was too obvious. Like, it would keep going, like, there were things like when he was in front of the car at the beginning, that famous scene at the beginning where he sits on that. But then they flash back and they'd show these things as well. And I go, we all get it. We've seen the other film. It felt like it was too much. Mm. Do you remember this? This happened as well.
I think I was in the nostalgia and I was like,
yeah. Well, yeah, okay, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
What about you?
Movies.
Yeah.
I'm more of a series person. I genuinely can't remember any. I've just done a mind blank. I've been sat here for the last 20 seconds.
I think mine is Fight Club. It's my favourite.
That's a great film.
I finished it, by the way.
Did you get the twist then?
So I was watching Fight Club and I watched like the first hour and 15 minutes and I was like, I don't get this. I was like, the only thing that I'm getting from this film is to be a dickhead. And I was really trying to like improve my lifestyle to not be a dickhead. I was like, it's just telling me to be a dickhead.
Nah.
And then you were like, what the plot twist? I was like, plot twist? And I watched it.
It's one of the greatest plot twists.
I watched it.
I miss a lot of stuff. I've read the book Life of Pi, the film now as well. I didn't, people afterwards going, guys, really great thing about, really great way of explaining religion, isn't it? I was going, oh, I thought it was just a nice film about a bloke and a tiger. But I watched it again. I watched the movie after that. I was like, oh, yeah, no, okay, yeah, I get it now. Yeah.
That was a great film when that came out. Yeah. Life of Pi, wasn't it?
I never watched
it. You know, watch it. Like, the graphics and everything. Yeah. So good. Mm. So good. Anyway, that is the end of the podcast.
What's your favourite movie? We can't leave it down below, actually.
No, you just
have to think about your favourite movie.
Think about it and say it out loud to your mum or dad.
Scream it. Yeah. Wherever you are. Scream it. Right now.
In church.
Thank you very much for listening.
Do you think they're listening in church?
Maybe.
The priest is just like, no, but thank you very much for listening. Go and check out Robbie. Check out previous podcasts. And have a great night. Bye-bye.